certainly love the Lord tonight and all his people and count it a blessed privilege to be in this wonderful meeting. Amen. You won't tell the effort that it took to get here. The Lord knows that. But we've certainly come over the miles with a burden that did not start when we got here. I've been thinking, music, praying before the Lord about some things. And I thought, there are many things that are done in this time world by individuals, groups. Some of these things as we look on them, questioning the value of them, the purpose of them, have caused us to make some of the choices we've made tonight. The bottom line of things is we're going to stand before God one day. There'll be an account given. As much as I think on this, it brings a fear to my soul. I don't want to put this on the congregation tonight. I must go out and meet God. No matter what places of refuge we are able to find as to the reasons we are ready or not ready, the fact remains we stand before God. Everyone in here must go out to meet God. And this thought makes this meeting more precious to me. There is a definite effort being exerted by God, the Holy Spirit, the angels, the dear saints that have sacrificed and labored for this meeting to go forward, that not one soul be lost. We don't want one soul to be left out. I don't want one soul to be deprived of eternal bliss, fulfillment. There are no words in the human vocabulary to describe the joy that awaits those that are faithful unto death. Serious is not. These are the kind of thoughts that have been filling my heart lately. Why do we do what we do? I don't want to put it on you again. Why do I do what I do? Why'd I say that? What's making me and causing me to do the things that I do? Now, there is a force opposing mankind on every side to rob you and I, my soul and your soul, of blessed truth that would be such a blessing to us if we would receive. I want to, by the grace of God, ask the prayers of the saints. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the fundamentals of old-time religion. Fundamentals. These are basics that we must have if we want to see the Lord in peace. Every one of us, what I'm talking about tonight goes beyond what group you favor or lean to. We're going to need God, folks. My group won't save me. Amen. Serious, is it not? What side of town I live on won't make any difference. Somebody said one time that when we was growing up in our house, that Didn't any of us children eat out of the same kind of plate? We had different kinds of plates. In other words, it was not a complete match set. That didn't make much difference as long as there was something nourishing in the plate. We need something nourishing tonight because we're going to stand before God one day, and we need to do the very best that we can to be fully ready to meet God and answer His awesome call. I've thought about this. I was in a courtroom scene, and I was well taken by the authority and the power of the earthly judge. He controlled that courtroom as far as earthly control goes, and there wasn't anyone in there that didn't know that and believe it. When he came through the door, that bailiff said, "Let everyone arise," and everything got up and stood up straight. Judge came in and sat down, and then we sat down. Right away, my mind went to another scene. There's coming a time when the great judge of all the universe, scripture says every knee is going to bow. Knees that wouldn't bow, knees that rebelled and refused and played games are going to bow. Every tongue. Tongues that are used for every kind of thing in this world, speaking things, singing things, doing things they ought not do, is going to confess that Jesus is the Lord. Oh, it's an awesome thought. Thank God tonight, listening to the special music, I'm glad tonight that we have something real to share with you. I'm glad tonight this is not the musings and the fantasies of brilliant minds to charm and entertain the population, but we have something real to share. We need something real in a world that's swiftly becoming a world of imitations. Imitation leather. I still marvel at this. I inspect shoes. Go in the store and pick them up, Peter say. Man-made. Certain part is genuine, but this is man-made. And, oh, it goes on and on. Don't take a lot of time there. I think you understand that. There's imitation salvation. It's just an imitation. It isn't real. Now, I might do well with some imitation shoes, like those plates. Those imitation shoes will take me from here to wherever I gotta go as well as the real leather, perhaps. But when it comes to my soul, my one soul that must go out into eternity and stand before God, I want everything real that I can get. I'm going to need a real experience when I meet God. I'm going to need it to meet Him. Yes, I'm going to need it to live right in this life. I need a real salvation, a real deliverance, a real victory in my life. Thank God that's all Jesus. He doesn't give anything but the real thing. Everything else that's not of the Lord is not real. It's not real. He gives us real, genuine, real thing. And I'm happy about it tonight. I'm happy tonight I'm not deceived. Oh, how do you know you're not deceived? Why, men wrote that book. I labored under that a while. Men wrote it. They sure did. But all the word goes on and says, holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. This makes it real. Real, isn't it? Holy men of God. Set apart, called by God. I marvel at the men that God called. field tending his little herd. And after a while, God gets to dealing with him. And he's got to stop tending sheep and whatever it is and get his book. Glory to God! I got a mission. I got a call. God's call. I got something real to share with you tonight. God's men are real men. They've left all the world to follow Jesus. They've given up ambitions and time. That's real, folks. That's real. But they're only walking in the footsteps of their Savior, who left his home above, who laid aside his royal garments, came down to communicate to you and I something real, glory to God. Oh, he could have sent a letter. He could have sent a letter and signed it, Jesus. We kind of have that. But before the letter, we got the real thing. Jesus walked on this earth. Jesus tested, tried, proved, went every which way, under every kind of provocation, every temptation, everything that hell could throw at him, and then some, and he came out real. He's really the Lord tonight. He's really the Savior tonight. He's real. Glory be to God. He'll do us tonight and serve us tonight to get this real Jesus. Somebody, one time, there were several people posing as a certain dignitary. Called the name, somebody pop up. When they really go through it and investigate, wouldn't be the man after all. They had some, you know, in this light, there's some real good lookalikes. I was looking at a book one time, and it had lookalikes, and it under it had a blank line to see if you can tell which one's the real person. They were people you could identify. But these lookalikes, you had to really look it over. And there was times when you'd have to say, I can't tell which one's really the real one. Thank God tonight the Lord hadn't left us like that. Thank God tonight there's nothing tonight that comes near the Lord Jesus, and we don't have to be confused about him. That there is no one that comes near enough and looks enough like him to confuse us and throw us off track. Amen. We've got a set of identical twins in our school, and they've about got me going. And I'll say Sylvia and it's Eileen every time. I'll say Eileen and it's Sylvia. And they just kind of smile at me. But I have learned their dispositions are different. And if I look at them real close, I can tell who's who by the disposition. One is aggressive, strong. The other's passive, withdrawn. Identical twins. Beautiful little girls. Thank God. The Lord Jesus tonight has. There's no twin to confuse us. Real. The fundamentals of old time religion. In the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'd like to read. Little passage here. Let me hold Isaiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 32. Maybe we'll get back there. Lord wills. We desire your prayers. 37th verse. Behold, I'll gather them out of all countries, whether I've driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I'll bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. For the good of them and of their children after them, And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. I want us to get this. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in the land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. I want us to look at the 40th verse. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. For a thing to take on the dimensions that'll impress a man that it's real, it has to have some qualities about it that he can recognize in the form of a tangible to him. All right? Now, God help us. We want to keep it right on a level where the children can get a hold of it. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, and the covenant will be that I'll do you good. I'll do you good. I want us to get this. I will do you good, and I will, you'll be my people, and I'll be your God. I want to make an agreement with you. A covenant is a mutual agreement between two or more persons, just a general definition. An agreement. Here's God's part. I'll do you good. And I'll put my fear in your heart that you'll not depart from me. And it's also going to be good for you. The 39th verse says, I'll give you one heart. I'll give you one way. These are benefits in this now. That you fear me forever for your good and the good of your children. Now, that ought to ring some bells. I want the best for my children that I can give them. I want to leave and give them something real that long, long after I'm gone and buried underneath the sod, they'll be able to still have in possession. This realness that they were able to get a hold of from me. Is it interesting? Interesting, anyone? I'll do you good. Glory to God. I will do you good. It's time to start listening, isn't it? I'm going to do you good. Now, we've heard a lot of things about I'm going to get you. I'm going to knock you. And I'll have your job. This one says I'll do you good. Praise God. I'm interested. You got me listening. Go ahead. All right. Praise the Lord. I'll rejoice over you to do you good. And I'll plant you in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Oh, listen. Is it true? Can this be true? It's a covenant. It's a covenant. A mutual agreement. It's God's part. Amen. God desires tonight, and God desired down through history to bless the people of His choosing. He always intended to do good to them. If we search it any way we want to start, the whole beginning place in the Garden of Eden was for the good and well-being of man. He did Adam good. The testimony comes on down in the book of Acts, it said this Jesus Christ, he went about doing good. He's kept his word, hasn't he? Not only is he good to the just and the righteous, not only does he remember those who seem to be tender and concerned about him to fear and obey him, he's good to folks that don't care a thing about it. Oh, I'm beginning to get a little sense of the magnitude of this personality, if I can say that, to do good to mankind. Oh, he does good to the just as well as the unjust. He's fair to those who love him and those who despise him. Oh, it's glorious to my soul tonight that the Lord looked down upon my condition when I was outside of mercy, outside of his grace, outside of any mind to live for him, and he still let the sun shine on me. Oh, listen. You say, oh, what's so big about the sun shining? Let him cut it off. Let everybody that's living in darkness tonight be decreed that they will have no more benefit of the wonderful sunshine that God sends. You'll be in trouble. Oh, Lord, don't cut the sunshine off. Somebody say, it doesn't matter to me if the sun shines on me or not, all right. How about the rainfall? He lets his sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. He'll let his rain on the crops of a wicked man and cause them to flourish as well as a godly man's crops. He is a good God tonight. Glory be to God. Wicked man cursing and swearing, and God will just water his crops. Bring him forth a bumper crop too. And he'll cuss and swear all the way to the bank. This gives us a little insight on the one that's making the covenant with us. I'll do you good. Amen. This is real. God is no respecter of persons. This is real. If this thing was for a little patch of folks here and a little patch over there, and you got to do it this way for him to see you, I'd say it's phony. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of the water of life. This is real. Whoever's tired of sin, broke down, in trouble, distressed, depressed, confused, come on, get a drink of something real. This is real. Glory to God. It's got my attention good. Amen. The poet said, we heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves! Jesus saves! Glory to God. And I must tell it all around. Jesus saves. This is real, folks. This is real to my soul. It's real to more than my soul as I look around tonight. It's real. Well, if I could fly right now, I'd be flying around this building. Hey, man, I'd just take off and I'd soar around these pews and I'd spin around to let you know God is real. He's real. I'll do you good. I want that to stay on our minds tonight. I will do you good. Now, you know you've been kicked in the teeth. Betrayed, hurt, disappointed. That's the human experience. That's why I can say that. This is the human experience. Disappointment, letdown, betrayal, treachery. But I will do you good. He won't betray you. Won't work any treachery on you. Won't change when you think you know him good. Just when you think you know him good, he won't change on you. He'll do you good. Do you good. Glory be to God. We're going to need, I don't want us to miss points now. We're going to need all the realness of God to meet him in eternity. Now let me create some questions in our minds. Why would he do me good? And he's got to bring me into the judgment. He's got to judge me. And he's trying to establish my life to where it'll be acceptable before him at that time. It's hard to understand.
That's part of that doing you good. He's not willing that you perish. He's not willing that you come up undone and undressed and improper. I'm going to get you ready to meet me in eternity. Now you talking about fixing the thing up. We know we've won before we get there. We know we've got the victory before we ever get into heaven. Bless your soul. That's something real. I don't have to guess. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to think I've got it. But the Lord gives assurances deep down in the soul that are real. It's real. It's real. It's real. Glory to God. I know where I'm going tonight. Somebody said, yeah, you're going to go to bed after service. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm on my way. Amen. I'm not giving heed to the calls along the way that say, yo, he's over here. Praise my God. Another call from this side said, no, he ain't over there. He's over here. I'm not listening because I have something that's real. Lo, he's here, and lo, he's there, and lo, he don't work there no more. Lo, that's a burned out field. I have something real tonight, and you and I had better get something real in our souls. Now, I didn't want to say it like that. I didn't want to say it quite like that. I want to say, it's our best advantage in eternal terms to have the goods. You go tell the folks what they better do. They stiffen up on them. Although it's the truth. But I just want you to know tonight, I want you to recognize that what God says in his covenant about your life and what he'll do, he's not a man that he should lie. When we're sick, when sickness racks our bodies, when the children are sick or the wife is sick, we have real promises. Glory, hallelujah! Real, real promises. Is any sick among you? This is part of the covenant. Let him call for the elders of the church. How do you know it's real? It's real, glory to God. This is real. I'm talking about somebody say, yes, but I got real pain. He's a real pain killer. Real. He real. I watched a dear sister all afflicted in her limbs. They're in pain and misery. Right in a tent meeting. The meeting had dismissed pretty much. It was kind of, you know how the saints had the afterglow, meeting everybody and hugging and all. We just having the afterglow. She said, oh, ministers, y'all got to pray for me. I need prayer now. These two or three brothers called me, walked over. Sister, God, you do it. She said, oh, yes. Sister, are you living in a place where he can do it for you? Yes. Just a simple thing. Name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. She said, oh! She went to bend in her legs. Oh! I'm healed! It's real! Oh! That's not the only occasion I know about. You know what that does for me? You know what that does for me when something like that takes place? Clenches. It just clenched something for me. That just fixed me. Don't tell me about your doctor. I've got a doctor I want to tell you about. Amen. Tell me about your doctor. Poet said, Dr. Jesus. Just the same. Today and long ago. Healing water. Oh, and they flow right in the covenant. They flow. A stream. A river if you need it. time just to touch is enough. You hear the saints praying, Lord, touch him. I used to wonder why they say touch. Because it's potent. A touch does it, Todd. The reason we say touch him is so potent. It's so powerful. If the Lord would turn his full glory down on a human vessel. Think you can bear it? And he just shed all the glory? So we rightly pray, touch her, Lord. Touch him, Lord. That doesn't mean we lack faith. We recognize a power source is more than enough to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Just a touch, glory to God. The woman said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, that's real, isn't it? Oh, what's a touch? Depends on who's touching and who you're touching. Touch can start a lot of things. Amen. Depending on what you're touching, who you're touching, and how you're touching. By faith in his name, that's all in the covenant. Amen. Good God. And I'm going to serve him. You see where I'm getting at? You see what I'm getting at now? I am going to serve him. It can't get too rough to stop me from serving. They can throw rocks, bullets, missiles. I just say, well, Lord, leave a little crack so I can slide in. And I'm going. I know where the blessings are. I know where God is working. I want to be in the midst if I got to crawl in. Something real, you're willing to do that. I wouldn't do that for some old makeup. Amen. I wouldn't do it to be in the midst of a bunch of fornicators and hypocrites. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't drive a car that sounds like it wants to stop running over a number of miles. Lord, keep her running. And he just tunes it up. I marvel at it. That's something real. Somebody said, how many thousand miles you got? I don't know. Speedometer doesn't work. Something real. God can take care of that. That's nothing but God. Brother told about driving on an empty tank. He knew it was empty. Just kept praying. Oh, help us to find a station. And every time he hit a little bump in the road, oh Lord, still riding. When it finally gave out, it was right at a station. That's something real. That's something real, folks. He said, well, that's coincidence, not time and time again. God's just letting you know, I'll do you good. I'll do you good. I will actually save your life. Time and time again. I'd like to save your soul, too. I'd like to make your soul secure. I'd like to give you true riches. That's in the covenant. Now, that old covenant had all the same purposes in it, but hindrances. Man on his part kind of blocked things up, and the real flowering of it, the real fulfilling and manifesting of it, could not come under the old covenant fully. Yet we have records and references of lives that were accepted by God because they lived to the standard revealed. That's real too. The other evening the brother spoke about living in the light you have. That's something that's real. I can't live where I don't have the light. But bless your heart, what God has made known to me, you can't beat me living that. It doesn't depend on who all sees it. Depends on this covenant that I made with God, that he made with me. That's something real. It didn't work out fully as God intended. The defects were all in man. So the Lord, being the good, real God he is, came at it from another angle. Hebrews chapter 8.
I want us to have something tonight that will challenge our hearts to live for the Lord. There's a little passage there that we read. It said that you would stay with me forever, that you'd never leave me. The crowning point of any relationship is its ability to endure the test of time and life. Did you hear that? The crowning point of a relationship is its ability to face the daily test of life and remain constant. Now, that's something real. Yeah, when I got married, it was like this. Now I've come up against this and that and the other, but our love is still burning. That's something real. The tests and the trials and the storms come. I'm not willing to vacate the premises. Honey, we'll ride it out together. Amen. Hand in hand, we'll ride it out together. I love you, and I'm not about to leave because it's trouble. I'm not about to scare because of hardships. That's something real. And don't you know that clinches something in that other party's heart? You mean you're not going to run out and all this distress? I'm not going anywhere. Ooh, I love you. I really love you now. I mean, I always have, but I really love you now. That's real, see? Oh, we got us something. You and me. God wants us to have such a relationship that'll endure the test of time. That'll endure the assaults and the batteries of this old world. God wants us to have an experience in Him that'll ring true when it's all we can do to hobble to the meeting house. They'll still bring forth fruit in old age. God, I heard something that's inspired my soul. Someone said, you know what happens to honey after it's so old, a period of time, honey, that just gets old on you. I don't know what happens. They said it'll turn to sugar. Praise God! Now, honey's good enough, but after a long space of time, it just becomes sugar. Our walk with God can take on the dimensions of such sweetness, it becomes sugar. I'm not about to leave something that sweet. Amen. I'm not planning on leaving. This thing is sugar good now. Honey becomes sugar. Our walk with the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I thought it was. Just walk along with Him and just walk along and just become sugar. Oh, glory to God. I'll do you good, He said. I'll do you good. I'll stand by you. Oh, I'll leave something for your children. There's some of us that can't write out a big, expensive, what is it, heirs, you know, I'm going to leave this. And I think I have my daddy's Bible. Two or three of his shirts. I just kind of kept them sentimental. He didn't leave me. My daddy didn't leave me an account that I could just kind of lay back. My earthly daddy. But I witnessed a life of faith. A life of faith. There had been times that that would come back to me as a picture of faithfulness, and has challenged me since I've been saved to be a man of faith. But oh, listen, that was demonstrated through his life was just more of what this covenant's about, how real it is. The times I've seen my dad kneel in prayer and ask God for some things that were happening as a boy, I felt like, why does he pray about everything? Yes. I asked him a question, he said, we gotta pray. He prays about everything. And now I know that was real. That was real. Thankful for that, being able to see that. I'm thankful that I was able to
see my daddy cry as he called the name of Jesus, as he spoke to us and sang to us. I'm thankful that he'd look us in the face and say, boys, you must live for God. Big old tears rolling down his cheeks. And we, yes, sir. All that's precious to me now. But having the Lord that my daddy knew is more precious to me. I'm finding him real in every way. Another covenant, the sixth verse. Somebody help us read some here. Hebrews 8 and 6.
But now if he obtains a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant.
All right, watch.
Which was established upon better promises.
Now, in order for this covenant to appeal to you and I, it has to have some promises. See? And there's promises in this. And these promises appeal to the needs of the soul. And they also go farther than that, and they touch needs of the present life. The Lord promises things that if we'll listen real good, there are things we need. We need this. There are homes tonight that are in trouble, husbands and wives that are in trouble because there are needs of the soul that are not being met by the only source that can meet them. Home's about to dissolve, disintegrate. It is a division in the home. They're not one together as God ordained. So there's some things in the promises. There's some promises that meet needs to make homes what they ought to be. See, that's in the covenant. Read on.
For if that first covenant had been faultless,
see,
then should no place have been sought for the second.
Watch.
For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel.
This is good.
With the house of Judah.
Watch.
Keep not reading. According to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt.
Yes.
Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
Now watch.
For this is the covenant.
Now here's, this is to us, this is the updated form. This is the form that's been updated to meet modern man's needs. He's updated it. Now this is the covenant. This is the agreement. This is my side. This, I'm exposing myself as to what I'm promising in doing you good. Read.
I will make with the house of Israel after those days.
Watch.
Saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds.
Hold it a minute. How we need this. We need the laws of God in our minds. Oh, I could reach in and pull out the little book. Here's the laws. But they need to be permanent in my mind. Constantly there. To protect and guide and control. I'll put my laws in their mind. Read on.
And write them in their hearts.
Not only is it in their minds, I'm going to go down deeper and write. In their hearts. Write it. I'm making a permanent situation that they won't be able to miss heaven. See? You won't miss heaven now. I'm going to... You know, we've prepared ourselves for tests in this life. Testing. And I've studied and I've crammed. And I've stayed up late. And I've read and read and read and had different ones ask me questions. Everything I could think would be on the test. I'm ready. And oh, what a blessed consolation it's been to get in there in a timed test. And recognize the material instantly and be able to give the correct answers and go right down the line. I was prepared. I was prepared for it. I made preparation. I was diligent about it. I sought to be ready for it. Listen, our souls are at stake here.
It is to everyone in the house. It is to our advantage to take advantage of God's covenant, His promises of what He's going to do, that we will be prepared and ready. No surprises. Ready to go. Ready to serve. Read on them.
I will be to them a God.
See?
They shall be to me a people.
Oh, a God. I will be to them a God. If we understand that term in its usage here, a God, one above, one who is over, one who has the power controlling and guiding and providing, God. Somebody bigger that the circumstances of life never get too rough or too big for. Conditions and problems that we'll meet never confuse or baffle God. We may be stuck from time to time. There may be circumstances we can't see or understand, but it won't stump God. And I'll be to you God. Problem solver. Comforter. I'll be God. Those things that you're unable to work through, I'll be God to you. Oh, it's precious to me. Old king told his dream and called for his wise men, his soothsayers and magicians, and they couldn't tell him anything. Finally, the word got to him there. There's a man here in your kingdom. Now, he's got some skill in interpreting dreams and all. He probably could help you if you call him up. Daniel came up, summoned. He told him, well, he wants to be God. Oh, Lord, such and such is about to happen. The saints pray. Behold their threatenings. Behold what they're going to do to us. God. And God move things and establish things and open doors and close doors. He's God. Oh, don't you want one to be God to you? Read. Watch.
Every man his brother say, know the Lord.
Watch now.
For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
That's precious. Oh, that's precious now. Personal, intimate, just as close and cozy as you want to make it. Draw close to God. Personal, they'll know me. You won't have to know me through the preachers. I'll allow you to know me for yourself. Oh, listen. How precious an experience to know God for yourself. To know Him. And the beauty of this, what I know of the Lord isn't causing any conflicts or clashes or run-ins at all. But I'll tell you, when the Word of God goes forth, it clenches things in my soul. Lord, help me to know that. Now I hear it preached. They'll know me. They'll know me. And that's important. Read on.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
Watch.
And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
All right. Now we're going to hold right there. What are the outstanding features here? My laws in their heart and in their mind. Going back to the old covenant there, there was a place in there where he said that they'd not depart from me. And I'm going to tell you something. There's many a pilgrim that starts out following the Lord that doesn't finish. The purposes of God are not fulfilled in that cycle of events. When we're saved from our sins, it is the intent and purpose of God that we get saved, genuine, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, and have an enduring, growing, continuing relationship turning to sugar. No turning back. No going back. No quitting. Oh, it was more than I could take, and I gave up. God wants to build into you and I features of ruggedness, continuance, trueness, something real. Yes, something that's real. Anybody can shout in the high tide, but when the tide's low. The passage said, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. I believe the Lord gave me a little insight on that. Let your light shine in the reverses of life. When everything has gone the way that you didn't want it to go, let your light shine. When you are the subject, your name is the subject of conversation. Let your light shine. That's real. That's real. It'll be necessary for you and I to have an experience that will allow us to be fit representatives of the Lord in the tests and trials of life. A little folly, just a little folly, cannot be tolerated in representing the Lord. May God help us. Fundamentals. Here are covenants. Here are promises. Here is God extending himself. Here is God saying what he will do. Here is God putting his name on the line. God said this. You know, usually that's pretty well settles it if someone's willing to put their name on it and stand behind it. We'd feel a little leery if they weren't willing to, so to speak, put their name on it, stand by it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Without hope, we were lost. And all this promise and all this, what God wants to do, he put it into operation in a way that every honest heart, every hungry soul, every soul that is longing and yearning for something that's real can find it in Jesus Christ. Christ died for us. The scripture says, barely for a good man, who'll die for that? Who'll die? Don't have that just right. Scarcely. Man of what we'd say worth. Try to line your friends up and see who'll die for you.
Scarcely for a righteous man.
Scarcely for a righteous man.
Yet peradventure for a good man.
Now maybe if he was a good man, someone might, some of these causes we have in the earth, these acclaims of justice, dignity. We've got people stepping out on the scene, laying their lives on the line. Sure. For what? What kind of eternal value will it have? What will it mean to my soul when I stand before the throne of God? We were right. We had the right point. God help us. Oh, listen. That old prophet said, let me die the death of the righteous. There's a little more of that for a good man.
God,
this covenant, his love. Now, here's another word coming in. God is showing his love by extending and providing all of this. You know, they say, well, you don't have to spend a dime. Just come in and listen to us. You ever have them tell you that? Come in and walk around the showroom. Stay with us today. And their hope is before the day is out, you'll buy a car. Oh, you don't have to spend anything. Just come in. You say, now, I want you to know right off I'm not going to buy a car. Oh, that's all right. Come on. When they get through. But I didn't bring my check. Oh, that's okay. You can write it on this. They'll sell you something. And if he believes it's good enough and makes it more appealing in ways that he knows touches within, we generally find ourselves in that spot of Simon. And that's man's way. And I'm not likening God's dealings like that. I'm only want to make a point here. If we listen to the Lord's promises soberly, quietly, listen to the promises. Listen closely to what God is saying. We'll find it hard to gainsay the promises.
we'll find it hard to resist those promises if we'll listen to them. We may find ourselves with battles of how can it be and why would he do it? And when we discover that he loves us, that has an effect of melting us. He's doing it for love. Your well-being. He wants you to be able to enjoy and experience the joys of pardon. He wants you to rejoice in salvation. He wants you to have the good side of life. He wants you to have the best in eternity. That's enough to break you down in it. It did me. Oh God. I listened to the singers. And they sing and sing. And I wonder many times, do we get the words? Do we really get the words that tell us of his undying love and his favor? May God help us tonight to think real sober. We're going to need all the equipment that God has promised us to stand in eternity. We'll need it all. We can't pick around and find the part that suits us and think we'll be fully prepared to stand in the judgment. We will not. We'll have to accept it all. Now, you need to pray for me right here. You need to pray that God will help us to get this burden off our heart to you in the way that we feel it and sense it. So the new covenant is going to put God's laws in our mind and in our hearts. With God's law in us this way, we have a constant, a sentry. We have one, a resident. We have at our disposal direction instantly. Sure. God has a way of bringing it all up in unique ways. You think the computer age is marvelous. Enter into the age of the Holy Ghost. You think those computers can print out facts and information so fast the Holy Spirit can bring to your mind that precious law that's written in your heart and blazed in your mind and help you to see the truth about a thing instantaneously? Holy Ghost. Spirit of truth. Now, he's real. I get a little edgy when folks say the Holy Ghost it. The Holy Ghost. He, glory to God, when he has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. I have your soul's best interest at heart. Oh, Jesus, you're going to leave us. And what do we do when you be not overcome? I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter. Another comforter. You know, it was a comfort to walk in the presence of Jesus. I imagine, and I believe those disciples felt like it, nobody in this world that can bother us. We got Jesus. Oh, just to be in his presence. Let those old Pharisees come. Gee, we got Jesus. Comforting. Well-being. I'm not going to be overboded and flooded and crushed out. We have Jesus. Amen. Take a hold of that tonight. We have Jesus. All the storms can rise, but we have Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to send you back another comforter, the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's part of the covenant too. The Spirit of truth. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. Bless the Lord, in God there's nothing but all truth. Today in the imitation world there's partial truth. Partial. That folks has got some of the truth. The only way you get all of the truth is to take advantage fully of these promises. All the promises. He'll lead and guide you into all truth. There's no darkness in him. Thank the Lord for that. That's for us. That's going to eliminate the possibilities of confusion. But I want to say tonight, unless we fully enter in, unless we fully receive the promises, enter into this covenant. Oh, Jesus, God has already extended himself. That's one part of it. The other side of it is you and I receiving and accepting. We have to accept it. God help us now. We have to accept what the Lord is giving to us. Acceptance, take it.
into my heart and mind and begin to operate right out of what the Lord said. Faith in God. Faith in His promises. I believe the promises of God. We begin to move like that, we get something real. We receive a real experience. Oh, the building might not shake. There might not be shouting. But when you come this way, you get something real. And right away, the Lord confirms it in your heart by letting you know, I'm here. He lifts loads of sin. He lifts burdens. He lightens the eyes. He causes things that were so terrible not to look as terrible. Witnesses right away. Assurances right away. Instant confirmations. You don't pray and it's weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. I don't know if I'm saved or not. When you begin to receive the promises of God because it's God's holy word, it works. It's real. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and thou shalt be saved. That's real. You don't have to perform. You don't have to roll on the floor. The challenge is be as real as God is. You be as real when you come to that altar. You be as willing and open to God as God has opened and exposed Himself to you. That's what brings a real experience. You be just as honest and straightforward toward the promises as you know how. I believe Jesus saves and His blood washes whiter than snow. Oh, it'll work for you because it's real. I just can't believe. I just can't do this. It'll never be real to you. You'll flop and you'll flip and you'll be in the meetings in body only. When the real action and events of the blessings of God begin to flow, you won't be able to partake of the realness. You look over and see the tears flowing down the cheeks of the saints. And you say, I wonder why they're crying. What are they crying about? They have something real. God has confirmed in their hearts some precious gem of truth. God has confirmed within them some precious promise that He's given. And oh, that's so real to them. It registers in the soul. It's real. The scripture that talks about goodly pearls. Gems, precious truth. Goodly pearls, Matthew 13, 45 and 46. This will be the end of what we'll say about God's part. We want to spend a little time on our part. We see what God is saying. We're just looking at a small portion because, humanly speaking, we could never bring out all that goes in with this covenant. But we can get a hold of enough to see that it actually is for my good. Salvation is for my good. It is for my personal well-being and my children. I don't want to leave that one out. See, that's a big one. That's a big plus to me. It's good for my children. This is going to be good for my children. Oh, I want to do something that's going to be good for them. Amen. Oh, their children too. I love that. It just goes on and on. It's real, see? If it weren't real, it'd die with this generation. Wasn't anything to it. Don't you know it had dried up a long time ago? You think this could go on and souls get deliverance and live a victorious life? And meet death with a sweet peace and victory. No regret, no kicking, no pulling. Just die sweetly in the arms of Jesus. If it weren't real, that couldn't happen. It couldn't happen, folks. It couldn't happen, the testimonies of the peace they have. And seeing Jesus and angels and all that. It couldn't happen if it wasn't real. Oh, I count it a privilege to be at the bedside of a dying saint. Count that an honor. Oh, listen now. All the preaching and all the teaching and all that we read now, we get a chance to look at this thing a little bit. See them just look at everybody and smile and say, it's well. Glory to God. Maybe sing a little song.
That clinches something. Let me die the death of the righteous. Oh, that fixed something. That's fixing something in my soul. Oh, if I haven't been living up to standard, I'm going to get real about serving God. I'm going to get real about it. It really works. Read, please. Merchant man. Is that it?
And the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man.
See? Yes. Yes. He sold everything he had. A merchant man had an ability to appraise the value of a thing. You and I had better use our best judgment and appraise the value of the promises of God. We'd better look on these promises and we'd better consider now time is running out, and if my life, and it will, follow the course of life, I'm going to grow old gradually, some more than others. And eventually I'm going to die. I'd better start appraising eternal things. I'd better start looking to live after this life. God help us now. Appraise. He appraised it. Like a merchant man, he sold all. You know the way to get a real experience with God is to sell all? The only way to get a real experience with God is to sell out. There are too many that fail to get the goods of a real experience because somewhere in a closet somewhere, stuffed in a corner somewhere, is holding on to something of the flesh or of the past or of this life. You fail to appraise the value of the promises of God correctly. They're worth selling all you have to get it. It's worth giving up every ambition you've ever had to be saved. It's worth turning loose an association, Paul said, I count all things loss. I want Christ. My estimation of the worth of His promises transcends any earthly promise. It goes beyond anything that this life could give me. Listen, folks, we're going to go out into eternity. We'll not be able to take reputations. We'll not be able to capitalize on who all thought I was saved. We'll not be able to get by God because we had an appearance of something. We're going to need a real experience. Oh, it isn't going to do to go on to years and years and years of testifying and confessing and professing and never getting the realities of God to where your life makes a definite marked change to walk in holiness all the days of your life. Before God, if that doesn't take place, you're going to be short in the judgment.
Children of Ammon into my hand.
Watch now.
And it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, and I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's.
All right, hold it. Is that the end of that?
And I will offer it up for a burnt offering.
All right, that's a vow. Now, I heard what the commentator said. He said, that's a rash. I'm not advocating rash, unthought out statements made that are not based on a good, clear knowledge of the Word of God. I don't advocate that. But when we get a good understanding of what God is promising us, you hear me? When it registers in my mind what He's promising me, I ought to make a vow that binds me to it. This is the truth. This is what makes it real. This is what clinches the thing. When God blesses the understanding to come to me after what the promise is, I'm not being duped. I'm not being deluded. My friends are not causing me to do this. I want to do it. I see a need. All right? He made a vow. 35 and 36 now, quickly.
And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter.
My daughter.
Thou hast brought me very low.
Watch now.
Thou art one of them that troubled me.
Yes.
For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back.
Hold it. This is what I want to get to. not a rash saying of anything, but a principle of I've opened my mouth to the Lord and I cannot go back. This is what cleanses experiences in God. This is what brings the joy. This is what gives the victory. I've opened my mouth to the Lord. I'm willing to stand by it. I cannot go back. Get it fixed good. Fix it good. Lord, I love you. I live for you. Lord, I'll serve you. Lord, I'll be humble in the congregation. Lord, I'll be under my pastor. Amen. Solid, sound, clear with God. Get it all fixed just right at the beginning. Lord, I'll be a saint of God. When I got saved, I didn't pray, Lord, make me a preacher. I was too happy. I do remember saying, Lord, I want to be a good saint of God. I want to live by the book and please you. This is my vow. I will do this. I will serve you. I will be true to you, and I will not go back. Jeff, I cannot go back. I will not go back. His daughter got a hold of that reading.
She said unto him, my father, thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord. Do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth.
All right. See? That's what you said. You do it. You do it. All right.
For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies.
All right. Psalms 118, 27 and 28. Now, this is our part. We want to get this thing fixed up just right here. Psalms 118, 27, 28. We're going to find it. Listen.
Which has showed us life.
Yes, Lord.
By the sacrifice of Korah.
I want us to get this. God has showed us light through His promises. He's opened my eyes. He's reached down in the needy places of my life. Now, bind the sacrifice. Me, bind. Lord, I want to be bound to you. I want to be connected with you. I want to be permanent eyes in your care. Bind it to the altar with cords.
Even unto the horns of the altar.
Bind it fast.
Thou art my God.
Oh, I love this.
And I will praise thee.
Thou art my God.
Yes.
Thou art my God. Did you hear what he said? I'll be your God. You'll be my people. Now I'm coming back to God. You are my God. That's my part. I will praise and exalt you. You are my, I'm owning you according to your promise. Oh God, help us tonight. These chords, I want to look at them a little bit. Hosea 11 and 4, quickly. Chords. You remember that man? Gathered him. The man that lived in the graveyard in the tombs, they couldn't bind him with chains. They'd put chains on him, pop them like threads. Couldn't bind him.
I drew him with cords of a man.
Couldn't hold him.
With bands of love.
Hold it. I'm going to tell you what will hold a man. I'll tell you what will bind a man surer than any chain. When we get a revelation of the love of God. Oh, that'll bind you. I don't want you to think of being restricted in this binding or this banding, but this is a more of a bond. It's more of a connection with God that cannot be broken. I cannot change.
Amen.
The love of God. He said, and now His love is breaking my heart. He's drawing me to Himself. The promises and all He's done and all He says, I feel it drawing me in. Oh, that work, that's real. That's something real. He's drawing me in tonight. He's drawing some souls tonight. Bind the sacrifice. These are bands of love. The Lord is not putting us in a position where we just have to do this and we just have to wear that and we just have to go to meeting and
That's not it. But it is a bondage of love. It's a drawing that is irresistible. Now that I see He loves me so. He died for me. He's risen again. He's good to me. Oh, I love Him so tonight. That's how it works. Bands of love. I want to finish with a little piece of the book of Ruth. This to me is the height of commitment in our service to God. This to me is a model, if I could say it this way, of how every commitment, the ingredients that should be in every commitment. This is a model. These ingredients should be in every commitment to follow the Lord. Now let's watch it. Ruth chapter 1. A little reading here. Somebody might help us read. Start at verse 6. All right, we'll just kind of bring us up to date. Perhaps some not familiar with the book. Naomi lived in a land with her husband, two sons. Two sons took wives of that land. Process of time, Naomi's husband dies. The wives are left. Their husbands die. The sons die. And here is Naomi and her two daughters, Ruth, daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpha. Naomi knows nothing more than return to her people. Yes.
For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her.
All right, watch.
They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah.
They're traveling.
She said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house.
See?
The Lord deal kindly with you, and she has dealt with the dead and with me. Lord grant you that she may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband.
All right, read on.
Then she kissed them.
Yes.
And they lifted up their voice and wept.
Now we have a scene here. They travel a little ways, and I can't help but think that they maybe discussed a few things, and Naomi was really leveling with them on what the future might be and how her prospects had, things had been dealt to her pretty rough in the land where she was coming or leaving, and I have nothing to offer you here. It'd be better if you'd go back. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The Lord puts us through tests like that. Little test. It'd be better if you go back. Go back. There's going to be some hardships ahead. There's usually a price to be paid to embrace the promises of God. There's usually a price we've got to pay right off. There's usually something dear and near to us that we have to deal with right away in order to be thoroughly saved. Sometimes it's family ties and things of that nature. People that we're going to have to make a choice between them and the Lord and how they see us. It's usually some price to be paid. It takes all different dimensions, but I call it a preliminary testing. Preliminary. The Lord tests us. Whether we're going to follow Him or love Him enough to lay aside this, that, or whoever to follow Him. And all the history of the saints is filled with those that had to make heart-rending and touching decisions. It is never a decision that is not going to cost you something. I'm not going to tell you tonight that you can just float up and say, I believe it. You're going to have to pay a price. You're going to have to match in quality what Jesus did. He laid down His life. You and I are going to have to die. There's a degree of death involved in this. Now, so the two are weeping. Everybody's weeping. Everybody's hugging. Everybody's so broken up over this. And Orpha leaves.
They said unto her, surely return with thee into thy people.
A thinking woman.
And Naomi said,
hold it a minute, brother. I'm trying to finish. Bear with us. Orpha's a thinker. After all, Naomi's right. What kind of future could I have? Uncertain land, not acquainted with this, and I don't know all of that. I'd better go on back. Oh, but I do love Naomi. But it's so uncertain ahead. I'll stick with what I call my sure thing. Naomi's a thinker too. I know tonight, just as sure as living for the Lord,
if you aren't convinced in your heart to follow Jesus, if you don't settle some things right along this line, your experience won't be one that departs not from the Lord. You will not have an experience that will hold steady and be true and grow and someday become sugar if you don't make some settlements right here. If you don't put the Lord above the thing that seems to be the dearest to you at the very beginning, your experience is doomed for failure down the road. We're talking about the fundamentals of old time religion. Why they had such victory, they put the Lord first and kept Him there. They put the Lord first above everything else and received the goods. I paid the price and obtained the prize. He saved my soul that was lost. That's what we're after. Orpha left. Read on now.
Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughter."
See?
"Why will you go with me?
Why are you going?
Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?
God help us.
Turn again, my daughter.
Go your way.
For I am too old to have a husband.
God help us.
For I should say, I have hope. I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons."
All right, let's read 14. Let's move on now a little bit.
"They lifted up their voice.
Still wept, crying.
Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her."
Oh, listen now. Ruth clave. And let's move on now.
"And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is going back.
Some go back. Watch.
Return thou after thy sister-in-law."
You return to. Your sister-in-law's gone. Oh, we may start out in a big, big crowd, a meeting like this. You go, I'll go. You pray, I'll pray. All those kind of experiences usually lack the real essence of getting a hold of realness. You gonna pray? I'll pray if you pray. Oh, it's got to be something that strikes chords within us. I'm going to pray if you never pray. I want Jesus if you never want Jesus. My soul is athirst to be blessed.
Amen.
Read on now.
"And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee.
I want us to get this now.
Or to return to following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go."
This is the height of commitment.
"And where thou lodgest, I will lodge."
This is commitment. This is bonding. This is a bonding now. She's giving up her identity. She's giving up her hopes and dreams in one sense. But glory be to God. What the Lord has in store for them and loving them. Watch now.
"Thy people shall be my people."
We don't have the time tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you accept all of His people. All the barriers are broken down now. When you get saved, you don't know where you're going to be. Over on the islands, out in the woods, around over such and such a place, thy people will be my people. Oh, the family of God, the wonderful family of God, all the in their rich variety and all their uniqueness, they're my people. Praise God, every last one of them, they are my people. That's precious. I could go on and on about the different varieties of saints. Not just one Holy Ghost saint, but there's different flavors.
Amen.
Amen. Every one of them is good. Oh, I get edification from the saints. Meet the saints that come out the mountains. There's something unique about that. Amen. Ones that come off the flat land. There's something unique about them. But oh, we're just drawn together by that same one that we love. And oh, when the saints go to singing the songs, I hear all those flavors. Amen. But it all has a good seasoning of the Holy Ghost in it. It's one big family. Your people are mine. Amen. Just come among the people of God. I feel free to eat what they eat. Visit in the homes. Stay there. Just as free as one people, and I'm thankful for that. I don't feel any strain. I couldn't take it. That's not real. If I had to tiptoe and if I had to just, you know how it is now. You know how they are down in the South. I couldn't live with that. That's not real. But this salvation is real. Glory be to God.
Jesus is real. How do all y'all folks get together down there? That mixture, y'all. It's been purified. Amen. It's been purified, see? That's why we're getting along so well. It's been purified. Amen. That's real. That's real. No, don't send me back over here somewhere and say, you would feel better worshiping with them. I feel good with the saints. Try to find some place to send me. Amen. We feel like you would feel better. No, you're cutting me off now. Keep me right in the middle of the body. Glory to God. Let us touch one another now. These are my people. Don't cut me off. We all have unique features and qualities when purified edify. I watch your good custom on this and your way you eat that and I don't eat that. Well, we can just get a good smile out of that. And love one another and be true and be pure. And learn. God is no respecter of persons. Look what I found out here in the bushes. Hey, man, the Holy Ghost. This is precious. Oh, yes, Jesus. Your people will be my people. Read.
Thank God, thank God.
Oh, she's putting the thing in to where, you know, we need, when we see these promises and they're made clear to us, we need to sell all.
Yes.
Sell all and just jump right on in. Yes. Your God will be my God. She gave up her God. What she'd been raised to believe and know. Oh, there's quite a testimony here for Naomi. The way she lived, how she conducted herself. She lived a realness that attracted and drew her daughter-in-law. God help us now, read.
Where thou diest, will I die.
Thank God, thank God.
There will I be buried.
She settled that thing, didn't she? It's fixed. I'm going to die the death of the righteous. I want to be buried. Saint burial. Amen. We're called up to a place. One old sister lived there, isolated, lived as she could, died, and got the word to need some of you brethren to come up and work with this funeral. There, the funeral was in a kind of strange surrounding. The people knew her, but I thought how precious this was. We're here because this is a saint. Wasn't but four of us. We sang and we testified and read from the scripture.